I'm excited to look at Psalm 23 together. This psalm that is very well known, very, very well known, to the point where, you know, non-Christians know about this psalm. You know, don't have to be a Christian to know Psalm 23. You know, if you ask any Joe in the street, what is Psalm 23? I'm sure they probably couldn't recite it, but they'd be like, oh, I've heard it before. You know, I've heard it before. I've heard it shared. I've heard the title. Yes. You know, obviously, funerals. Yes. You know, so it's one that's pretty prevalent there. And in many other gatherings, actually. Psalm 23 is usually around. And so for the majority of us, we have that familiarity. We've talked about it in the past, about how familiarity does something to us. You know, Johnny talked about it earlier. You know, often when we hear things read, you know, and we think, oh, well, I've heard that before, you know, well, I know it. But with the Word of God, that's not the case. You know, it's not, well, we read it once and then, okay, we move on and, you know, thanks for that, see you later. But, you know, we can actually continue to read it. We can allow it to wash over us, and we know that God, through His Holy Spirit, can open our eyes to things in a text that we've read 100 times,
yes,
that we've never seen before, we've never understood before. And so, as we come to Psalm 23 today, you know, I do really believe that as we come together, we come with this expectation that God will speak to us afresh, that He will minister to us rest and refreshment. I believe this psalm is a great psalm for us to reflect upon who our God is, who we are, and what it means to live out our relationship with Him day by day.
Amen.
And so, if you have your Bible, please do feel free to turn with me to Psalm 23. Now, this psalm is deeply personal. You know, I reflected again upon the words that David uses, and the pronouns, as Johnny mentioned a bit earlier. And I thought about the fact that, you know, he makes no mention of us, or we, or them. He uses my, me, I. And it's very personal. And David is speaking about, and he's speaking to, his Lord. And so I do want us to read Psalm 23 to hear it again, this expression of worship to the Lord, David's expression of worship to his Lord and our Lord. And so this is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me.
Amen.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. David begins this psalm by speaking about who his Lord is. He uses one word to describe his Lord's identity. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. David uses this shepherd imagery. He uses this one term in this psalm to describe who his Lord is. And this would have connected deeply with the people of Israel at the time. They're familiar with shepherds. It's a It's a very common vocation, as it were, at that point. You know, it's significant. The original readers are closely acquainted with what the responsibilities of a shepherd are. Mm. You know, the shepherd had to lead and guide his flock. Mm. He had to protect them. He had to provide for them and care for them. Mm. And so this term is really a theological statement as well from David. You know, this is who his God is. He's reflecting on who his God is to him and who he is in relation to his God. Mm. And also, David himself was a shepherd. Mm. Before he was a king, he was a shepherd. Mm. And we see this explicitly in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the Lord sends his prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king of Israel. Samuel went to the home of Jesse and he surveyed all of his sons that were present. And the Lord showed him that none of those were the one whom he had anointed as king. And so Samuel asked Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" You know, he knew that the Lord had sent him to Jesse's house. He's like, "Well, if none of these ones are the king, then is there anyone else?" And Jesse said that his youngest son was the only one missing because he was keeping the sheep. Not to be confused with our Jesse. But David was a shepherd. He kept the sheep. He led them. He guided them. He provided for them. Protected them and cared for them. David even tells King Saul about some of his encounters when shepherding his flock of sheep before he goes out to face Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David says that when a lion or a bear came to take and harm any of his flock, he went after them, he attacked them, and he even killed them in order to rescue and protect the sheep of his flock. So David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what it was to shepherd a flock of sheep. And he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And so David's opening line is significant for two reasons. Firstly, because it shows us that David knows his shepherd. He knows his identity and character. He knows that the Lord is good, that he's holy and faithful. And because he knows his Lord so intimately, he's able to trust him. And he's able to follow him wholeheartedly. David knows that everything that he himself was to his sheep, the Lord is to him. Amen. The Lord is his leader. Amen. The Lord is his guide, his provider, his keeper, protector. The Lord is the one who cares for him. The Lord is his shepherd. And secondly, it also shows us that David knows who he is in relation to the Lord. He's the Lord's sheep.
Yes.
He's a sheep of the Lord's flock. And as the Lord's sheep, he's entirely dependent upon his shepherd. David's role is to follow his shepherd and to trust in him. And his confidence is that his shepherd will lead him. His shepherd will provide for him. His shepherd will protect him and care for him. He simply needs to remain near to his shepherd. This is a restful reality when we think about it, isn't it? His role is to stay near to the shepherd. That's his role. Stay near to the one who cares for you, who leads you, who guides you. And it's the same for us as well. You know, when we hear the words of the Lord Jesus, he uses the same shepherd and sheep imagery. In John chapter 10, particularly verse 11, for instance, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He communicates, he is the good shepherd. And this self-sacrificial reality that he lays down his life for the sheep, now, that's a shepherd that we can trust. That's a shepherd that we can depend upon. He will lay down his life for us, and we know that he does. And in John 10, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He even goes on to say in John 10 verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And so we see this truth. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. The reality of our relationship with the Lord is the same as David's. Our journey with the Lord is also to be characterized by trust and dependence upon our shepherd. And as we do this, we have rest. You know, so often we struggle with that in our Christian lives. You know, as you talk to many Christians, and as you watch their lives, it's like, do we see rest? And do we see peace in their lives? You know, any different from those who are in the world, who are not following the Good Shepherd? Because we should, but so often, again, we don't come before the Lord as our shepherd. In fact, we often try to blaze our own trails. You know, we try to lead our own lives, go in our own direction. And so often, our life reveals that our trust is really in ourselves. But the call is to come to him. Come to the good shepherd. Trust in him. He's the one who will protect you. He's the one who will provide for you. He's the one that will lead and guide you. He's the one who's with you throughout all of your days. And so this rest comes in knowing who our shepherd is and who we are in relation to him. And rest doesn't mean laziness. Now, often we hear the word rest these days and we just think, oh, cool, so I just, you know, kick my feet up and chill out on the couch and watch TV all my Christian life because God's got me. Rest. But unfortunately, for those who would go for such a route, that is not what it means. But what it means is we're able to have peace in our lives no matter what we're going through. And that's huge. Peace in your life. You know, we read in another area of Scripture that, you know, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, you know. And it really is, you know, that we can have peace in any circumstance. No matter what news comes, no matter what, you know, dramas are going on in our lives, no matter what difficulties or pain or ailments we're going through, and it doesn't diminish the reality of how difficult the scenarios are in our lives. They are just as difficult for us as they are for anyone else, but we can have peace when we rest in this reality that the Lord is our shepherd.
Amen.
And we are his sheep.
Amen.
So I guess the question to us is, do we know our shepherd? Now, do you know your shepherd? Do you know that you are his sheep? And it's true, and it's stated so often that sheep aren't overly intelligent. We so often, we all have a laugh about that, and we're in New Zealand, you know, and we see a lot of sheep, and I don't know about you guys, but I've worked with sheep. I mean, I'm a horseman, really, worked with horses, but we had sheep around, and it was a bit annoying, interacting with sheep, and I'm sure, you know, and by the same token, we too are not overly intelligent when it comes to following the Lord. And that's often revealed by this fact that, you know, the gospel is so simple and yet so complex. You know, it's so simple when we think, okay, well, the Lord is our shepherd. Well, okay, sweet. Well, I follow him. And yet, so often, for something so simple, we're so often found not doing that. I even see that in my own life. It's like I'm so often found, if it's so simple, then why do I complicate it so much? And it just highlights, day after day, moment after moment, our need for God, our need for his grace, our need for the Spirit to continue to empower us and enable us to follow the Lord, to lay down our lives, you know, to walk in humility, to say, actually, I can't do it. I need God. You know, I can't do this. I need the Lord. I need my shepherd. Now, sheep aren't strong in and of themselves. They're actually weak. They're vulnerable to predators. Sheep wander away. They stray easily. Sheep are dependent upon their shepherd. And all of this is so helpful for us to reflect upon because it's just enlightening us to our state.
Yes.
This is our reality. Do we grasp what it means that the Lord is our shepherd today? And then do we live out of this reality day by day? Because it's one thing to be like, well, I get it, but do I live it out? Do I live it out? And day by day, moment by moment, you know, again, it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, sweet, you know, I was following the Lord then. You know, 10 minutes ago, I know for a fact I was following the Lord, but it's not about following Him 10 minutes ago, it's about moment by moment. Am I following Him now? I need to be following Him wherever He's leading me to go. And it does us well to reflect upon this reality in light of our own walks with the Lord. Do we follow our shepherd? And immediately after this, we see the impact that David's understanding about the Lord and about himself has upon his life. When he says, I shall not want. I shall not want. This is the natural outflow from David's understanding of his life. Because he knows that the Lord is his shepherd, because he knows that he's the Lord's sheep, therefore he says, I shall not want. This is perhaps better translated into English as, I shall not lack. I shall not lack. It's a statement of dependence and trust. So exactly what is David saying here? It's easy to misunderstand. Is he suggesting that as the Lord's sheep, he'll never lack anything at all? Well, no, he isn't. He isn't espousing some sort of prosperity gospel. His focus isn't actually upon what he will or won't have at all. His focus is upon the confidence he has that whatever he needs, whatever he truly needs, whatever is good for him, his shepherd will provide. That's his confidence. He knows that as he follows his shepherd, that he will never lack anything that his shepherd has determined is good for him and that he truly needs. And so this is a deep expression of trust and dependence. Now, David isn't saying that whatever he wants or whatever he thinks he needs will be his in the Lord. You know, this name it and claim it type of deal. He's saying, whatever my shepherd determines is good for me, whatever my shepherd determines that I need, this he will provide for me because he loves me, because he cares for me. And in this reality, David has peace and contentment. Do you have peace and contentment in the Lord? Do you trust Him in this way? Do you believe that the Lord loves and cares for you as His sheep? I urge you to trust in your shepherd, O sheep of the Lord. I urge you to stop wandering and straying from Him. Stop trying to blaze your own trail. Stop thinking that you know what you need better than He does. Recognize your need for your shepherd. Recognize your need to depend upon Him and trust that whatever He provides for you is what you need. Whatever He withholds from you isn't good for you right now.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of trust.
Yes.
It takes a lot of trust for us to say, well, I actually want that, but
yes,
I can't have it.
Yes.
And to say, I trust you, Lord. Maybe it's not what I need. Maybe it's actually not good for me. Maybe if I knew what you knew, I actually wouldn't want that. And you're enough. And that's often the hardest part, is that, you know, in reality, our flesh desires so many things other than God. And actually just stepping back and acknowledging and recognizing and letting that be our, very much our heart's cry, and our physical expression of worship is that God is enough. You know, yes, there are many other things that I might like, and there's many situations that I might wish were different in my life, but I trust that you are the Good Shepherd. I trust that you're leading me through this and that you're with me in it. And so after this powerful opening, David then begins to describe what his life is like following the Lord. This is in verses 2 and 3. So as the Lord's sheep, this is how David begins to describe his journey following the Lord. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." David's description of his walk with the Lord is one of trust and dependence upon his shepherds. And the fruit that's born out of this walk is rest, contentment, peace, restoration, and righteousness. In every phrase within these two verses, David describes the work of his shepherd. He says, "He makes me. He leads me. He restores my." And again, "He leads me." His shepherd is the one who's at work. David receives the blessing of the fruit that comes from walking in trust and dependence upon a shepherd. He receives the blessing of being made to lie down in green pastures. And in this phrase, David is communicating the reality that as he follows the leading of his shepherd, he enjoys the blessing of rest in abundant pastures. All of his needs are satisfied. They're provided for by his shepherd. And so he rests in the midst of this abundance, being fully content and having no sign of want in his life. He says, "I shall not want. You know, I lie down in green pastures." He receives the blessing of being led beside still waters. Because David follows his shepherd, he doesn't have to fight against the violent streams to try and find refreshment. He doesn't have to drink from muddied or dirtied waters. Rather, his shepherd provides for him not only food and rest, but also refreshment and pleasure, enjoyment, satisfaction. The waters to which his shepherd leads him give him both a pleasant experience and many a cooling drink to satisfy his thirst, to satisfy what he needs. He's satisfied as he follows his shepherd. He receives the blessing of having his weary soul restored. Literally, this communicates the idea that his shepherd causes his life to return. It refers to the spirit when it's exhausted, when it's weary or sad. And the meaning is that God breathes new life into his spirit when he's exhausted. Now this reference is trying to signify that, you know, his life or spirit is troubled, it's anxious, it was worn down with the cares and responsibilities of this life. And he's communicating that his shepherd brings back his vigor. He encourages it, he excites David to new effort, he fills him with new joy. And as the Lord's sheep, David enjoys this reinvigoration, this renewal of his weary soul and the fullness of joy that's to be found in the Lord's presence.
Amen.
And David also receives the blessing of being led in paths of righteousness, in the paths of the Lord. The Lord guides David in paths of righteousness. These are paths that keep him from ruin and danger. This is what he does for his sheep. And we see this in our lives in terms of the Lord's work in sanctification. He leads us in the paths which we're continually conformed into the image of Christ, so that we would display his character and conduct. He does this by his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. This same word, which when stored within our hearts, makes us not want to sin against the Lord, not want to stray from his paths. And we also see the reason that the Lord leads David in paths of righteousness, which is for his name's sake. It's for his glory. As the Lord's sheep, we're to make known his character and perfections, and therefore he leads us in paths of righteousness by his word and the power of his spirit, so that our lives will glorify him, so that our lives will reflect His likeness, His character, who He is to those around us. And these are the blessings that David receives and enjoys as he follows the Lord as his shepherd, as he depends upon Him. And they're the same blessings that we receive and get to enjoy as the Lord's sheep today. Mm. Now we too can know the rest that flows from depending upon our shepherd. Mm. We too can know the contentment that comes through God's abundant provision for our needs. We too can enjoy the refreshment and peace that comes from being led beside still waters. We too can know the restoration of our weary souls in God's presence. And we too can know the blessing of following the Lord in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But the question is, do we? Do we know these blessings of being the Lord's sheep? Do we follow our shepherd day by day? Because if we're not enjoying these blessings that come from being near to our shepherd and following Him, then perhaps it's a warning sign to us. Perhaps it's a sign that we've wandered, that we've strayed away from Him at some point and we need a return. And if that is the case, then we ought not to delay. Now, if we're not enjoying the blessing of being in the presence of the Lord and following the Lord, then it's a sign to us that we need to turn around. We need to turn to Him afresh and follow Him. David's language then shifts in the next portion of the psalm. He switches from referring to the Lord as He and instead begins referring to Him as You. David transitions from speaking truths about his shepherd and about his walk with Him to instead speaking directly to the Lord Himself. I want to look at verse 4. This is where we see David's language change, and it's significant because of what he's communicating. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." It's interesting to observe here that David turns to speak about the valley that he's led through. He's speaking about the valley now, the valley of the shadow of death. Mm. And it's at this time that he speaks directly to the Lord Himself.
Yes.
Now this seems to highlight both the reality and the intimacy of David's relationship with his shepherd. And it suggests to us that he isn't just speaking hypothetically here. But he's speaking from experience. Now this isn't just a hypothetical statement or an afterthought about some potential valley he might have to go through one day. It's undoubtedly reflecting this reality that he's been through valleys in the past. You know, it may even contain a resolution concerning a present valley. And it shouts resolve into the face of the valleys to come. David is saying, "You're with me."
Mm.
You know, again, we don't just say that emptily. It reflects that he knows. He knows this. And even if it's from his own reflection of how he's shepherded his own sheep, that he would never leave them. And when they go through the trouble, he was protecting them. When the lion and the bear came, he would fight them off. He would kill them. Whatever it took to protect his sheep, he would do it. And he would never leave them. And in the same way, he knows that his Lord is the same. His Lord is with him in the hardest times that he will go through. And so David describes walking through this dark, dismal valley full of terrors and dangers. And as we know, the Lord's paths of righteousness do indeed go through valleys. And David says that though he's led through the midst of these terrors and dangers, as in a deep valley, as dark as a shadow, and as dreadful as death itself. He says, though he may have every reason to consider himself even as a dying man, yet he resolves, "I will fear no evil." David says, even though I walk through the midst of the darkest valley of my life, with terror and danger all around, I will fear no evil. Though death encompasses me in this valley, I will fear no evil. I won't give way to my fears, even as I walk through this valley, but rather I'll continue to confidently trust in my shepherd.
Amen.
I'll trust that he'll make even death itself Amen. Work out for my good.
Amen.
And David centers his thinking upon the reality that even in the midst of this dark valley, the Lord is with him.
Amen.
It's at this time that he speaks most intimately to his shepherd. You are with me. He's confident in his shepherd's presence with him. He's confident that he's leading him and guiding him as he walks this path. And I suggest that the darkness is so great in this valley that he cannot see him. He can't see his shepherd physically, but he knows intuitively that call of the shepherd's staff, leading and guiding him. He still knows the protection of his shepherd's rod, defending him, directing him and urging him on. And I'm sure that we too are able to testify to walking through deep and dark valleys as we've followed the Lord. And as we've walked these paths of righteousness with the Lord, you know, as we have that saying, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. It's not rocky. I love Rocky. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, and we know that in life. It's not. And we're undoubtedly led through challenging and trying times as the Lord's sheep. And some may indeed have made us well aware that we were encompassed or overwhelmed by the shadow of death, as David describes. And yet even as we follow our Lord's lead through the midst of these deep and dark valleys, we too can resolve with David, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And to have this resolve as David did, we need to be confident that the Lord himself led us there. And if he led us there, then the path must be right, because the good shepherd doesn't mislead his sheep. And if we know that God led us on this path, then we can take heart that he's present with us.
Amen.
And we can trust that he's leading us whether we can see him or not. And we can also take comfort in his rod and staff, which guide us, which correct us, protect us, and urge us onward. And we have the word of God. Now, we may not see God in our current circumstance or situation when we're in those times of trial, but we know who he is. We can come to his word. Now, we can receive that correction. We can receive that encouragement. We can receive that restoration or reviving of our souls with this reflection again upon who our God is. Reminded again who our good shepherd is. And then following this, David then moves to provide evidence of the Lord's provision in his life through a slightly different image in verse 5. Just want to mention it briefly. Here he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And here David now refers specifically to the Lord providing a table or a feast for him in the very presence of his enemies. The word table here is synonymous with feast. So there could be an allusion here to some particular period in David's life, but it's quite difficult now to try and suggest what exactly that might have been. But nevertheless, David says that the Lord has prepared a table or a feast before him in the presence of his enemies.
Amen.
And that is to say, in spite of them, or so that they couldn't prevent it. So what he's communicating is that his enemies, David's enemies, were compelled to look on and see how his Lord provided for him, and there was nothing they could do about it. Now, those who sought harm for David could only look on and see the Lord's blessing upon him, the Lord's protection upon his life, the Lord's provision. It was clear evidence of the Lord's favor and blessing upon David. Here David communicates the victory that the Lord's sheep have in him, even in the presence of their enemies. The enemies of the Lord's sheep are compelled to see how their shepherd acts on their behalf, how he provides for them, how he defends them. And obviously this final victory is on the day of judgment, when all will see that the Lord's sheep belong to him. All will see that those who belong to the Lord get to share in His presence for all of eternity. And the final two phrases of the verse serve to further express the abundance of God's favour upon His sheep. They allude to prosperity and joy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. There's prosperity, there's plentiful blessing of God upon His people. And lastly, David pours forth this worshipful proclamation, this unending hope that he has in the Lord. In verse 6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
Such a beautiful ending to the psalm, a hope-filled ending, a worshipful ending. And even this proclamation of victory, again, we don't know necessarily when David is writing this or what he's going through, whether he's right now in one of those valleys. But he's got this proclamation of hope.
Amen.
"And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me."
Amen.
And simultaneously a conclusion drawn from his walk with the Lord and a proclamation of hope. This is David's hope. He shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this and this goodness and mercy. And not just in his trying days, you know. Not just in the good days, sorry, but in his trying days. You know, whether he's having the best day of his life or he's going through the valley of the shadow of death, he can trust this goodness and mercy of God will follow him. And this idea at the end of this eternal hope, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, David's hope is that in life, through death, and for all of eternity, he shall be in the Lord's presence. That's what he's communicating, this presence of the Lord. He will be in the Lord's presence. He expresses his hope that just as he walks with his shepherd, enjoying his presence in the days of his life on earth, and even as he walks with him, knowing his presence through the hard times, through the valleys, he foresees that without any question, he will indeed dwell in the house of the Lord. He will indeed dwell in the presence of God for all of eternity, forever, forever and ever. This isn't going to end. Nothing can separate him from his shepherd. No circumstance can alter the nearness that he has with his shepherd. No circumstance, not even his enemies, can alter the provision of God, and what God's purpose is in his life and what he's outworking in him. God is leading him. God is leading him in his life, and God will be with him throughout all of eternity. What a hope that he has, and what a hope that we share with him as well. And even thinking back to what we read in John 10 from Jesus, you know, that he will give his sheep eternal life. He will give his sheep eternal life. He also talks about in John that he will raise them up on the last day.
Amen.
And we read as well where Jesus said, you know, none will snatch them out of his hand. You know, there's this security, there's this hope, there's this certainty. So we too can say with David that surely we will enjoy the presence of God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And as we've reflected on over the last few weeks, the beauty of it, the security of it, is that it's not based on us. It's not based on what we do or what we've done or what's going on in our lives, but it's secure in our shepherd, our good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. Because he laid down his life for us, we can have this proclamation that we shall dwell in your presence forever, because Jesus has done it for us. He's done what's required. He's paid the price, and he is the one who ensures we will enjoy God forever. And so to close, I just want to put these questions to you. We've thought about them as we've gone throughout, but do you know your shepherd? Do you know your shepherd? Do you know that you're his sheep? And again, not just intellectually, but do you live it? If you know it, you will live it. You know, it won't just be something that you'll intellectually acknowledge or something you can say yes and amen to, but it will outwork itself in your life. Does your life reflect the reality that you truly know that the Lord is your shepherd? That you truly know that you're his sheep? And if not, man, don't just let that pass you by. If you look at your life and you can see, actually, I wander and I stray from God often. Now, actually, I try and grab the bull by the horns myself and go in my own ability. Actually, I seek after many things outside of the Lord to try and find that contentment and that rest. Man, don't just let it be. Don't walk away from our gathering this morning and just go through the motions and continue that cycle. Be like, well, what's going to change? What's going to change in my life to, when I see myself straying, man, what am I going to change to make sure that I return to the Lord? When I wake up in the morning and I see, actually, I don't have that contentment that I should have from being near to my Lord because, well, actually, I'm not near to Him right now. Well, man, I need to go to Him. I need to get on my knees. I need to pray. I need to get in His Word. I need to remind myself of who my Good Shepherd is. Like, I'm going through a hard time right now, and I'm tempted to walk away from God. I'm tempted to doubt that He actually loves and cares for me. Well, no, hang on. I need to take that thought captive, as the Word says, and replace it with truth. Well, He's the Good Shepherd. He loves me. He cares for me. And even though I can't see Him, maybe in this situation, I'm going to trust Him. So I guess that's my real encouragement this morning is, man, yeah, analyze. Where are you today? But also moment by moment. We have to be aware of where we're at. Are we following Him? Are we near to Him? Are we enjoying His presence? Because that's what Christ has won for us. Not just to enjoy His presence after we die, but to know His nearness now, to know His leading now, to know Him no matter what circumstances we're going through. Pray for us.